Let's get going. Today, won't waste any time. Today is going to be our number 76th study in John's Gospel. And the date is 11/23/14, right here before Thanksgiving week. So we're kind of looking forward to that. And glad to have all you folks here. And by way of review, we did do the review last week, but it will not be on the recording. If you go back and listen to last week's recording, it will not be on there. And incidentally, I do have all the recordings up to date as far as getting them to Chip. And I thank Chip for all his diligence in keeping them on the website. If you go to the carolinabiblegroup.com website, you can download or listen to those at your leisure if you missed it. But I did get those updated, and all of them, all the way up till today, is updated except for those of today. So, yeah, thanks for the applause, Tony. That is a big deal for me to, sometimes I let them pile up a little deeper than I should let them pile up in my slothfulness, but my apologies for that. Today we're going to continue in John's Gospel, but before we do, let's read a short review of last week. When we covered John chapter 18, verses 25 through 31. And, of course, we're at the beginnings of the crucifixion of the Lord when he was taken prisoner by the council and delivered up for questioning. And I've written this short review of 25 through 31, verses 25 through 31 out of John 18. And I've said John's account again picks up Peter, where we had left him in verse 18. You remember the section there of the Lord for a few verses was sort of inserted in the middle. And Peter was warming himself in front of a fire with the soldiers and the officers who had captured Jesus. Some of them recognized him, and they asked him if he was one of his disciples. He flatly denied and said he was not. Remember, this is in referral to the Lord's prophecy that before the cock crew that Peter would deny him thrice. Then one of the servants, which was a kinsman to Malchus, who was the one who lost an ear to Peter's sword, also recognized Peter and asked if he was the one he had seen in the garden with Christ. Peter again, the third time, denied the Lord, and immediately the cock crew, fulfilling the Lord's prophecy. And remember, we discussed that there was actually six cock crowings recorded in Scripture. If you go back and compare this version to the one in Matthew, you'll see that there are different times, different circumstances, different people that ask him, so on and so forth. And we won't get into the depth of that today, but six, the number of man, is a little bit more fitting in that actual instance there. So the story then picks back up with Jesus, and early in the day they led him from Caiaphas unto the judgment hall, the Jews themselves not entering to avoid defilement before they ate the Passover. So remember, when they took Jesus to the judgment hall from Caiaphas, the Scripture records that the Jews wouldn't even go in there because they were right before eating the Passover, and according to the law, they didn't want to defile themselves by being exposed to that. It's almost like, you know, we talked a little bit about radioactive contamination. They almost considered it that bad. Pilate then went out and asked what accusation they were bringing against the Lord. They snapped back that if he were not a malefactor, they would not have brought him before them. And, you know, we discussed the fact that, remember, what they were trying to do is all political. What the Jews were trying to do is drum up charges of treason against Caesar, against Christ, so that the Romans would kill him and they wouldn't, you know, they would be kind of free from the blood, so to say. So, remember, they kind of trumped this up and they said, well, we can't kill a man under our law, but that didn't seem to work for Stephen when they took him out and stoned him to death and others that are recorded. So, and remember the attempts several times on the life of the Lord. There were several times recorded in Scripture where they would have taken him and killed him if they had been able to. But remember, the Lord said, my time is not yet, and they couldn't do so. Pilate then told them to take him and judge him according to their law, to which the Jews wrongly answered, as I just mentioned, that it was not lawful for them to put a man to death. So let's go back and reread verses 28 through 31 of John 18, and then we'll dig into our lesson today. I see sitting doesn't have any sound. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay, everybody else good? If it's only one or two, I'll have to keep going. Okay. But if it's the whole group, we may have to do something different. Yeah, somebody let Sitton know. He may just have to reboot or whatever. I appreciate that. John chapter 18. Let's start at 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So they couldn't partake in the Passover if they had been defiled in doing so. Verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? What are you accusing Jesus of? He said. Verse 30, they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. That's their answer. That's not really an answer to his question. They're just saying, you just got to trust us. If he wasn't a bad guy, we wouldn't have brought him here. Kind of a cover-all answer, so to say. Verse 31, and here's where we stopped last week. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. See, Pilate knew they could kill him if they found him guilty of their law. He knew that. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. And I bet Pilate rolled his eyes when he heard this. Because we're going to see later on in our, study today, Pilate at one point just stops and asks the Lord, what is truth? As if he had heard so much for so long that even Pilate himself was questioning what truth was. What is truth? What is truth really? I think is what he wanted to know. But you see what the Jews answered. He said, go and take him and judge him according to your law. And he said to them, and they said back to him, and it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. Well, that's just a flat out lie. They stoned Stephen to death without asking anybody. And they took the coats, you remember, if you read the account in Acts 7, and laid them at the feet of one called Saul of Tarsus. And he watched the coats of them that stoned the Lord. And Paul, later on, Paul, as his name is changed to, even recounts that as he testifies in some of his testimonies during the book of Acts. So interesting point there. But we'll begin our study today, and I'm going to try to get all the way down through the end of the chapter. I'm prepared that far, and it should move fairly quickly, but I am prepared that far. So let's start in verse 32. In John 18, which says, and 32 actually goes with 31. I should have stopped at 32 last week. So let's go back and read 31. I'm sorry, that goes with it. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled. Now, John the narrator kicks in here after the Jews say that. The narrator that's writing the book of John the narrator, jumps in here and says that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Now, signifying there is the Greek form semeina, which means to indicate or to signify, to indicate what death he should die. And should die should actually be what death he is about to die. He is about to die a death. Look back at John chapter 12, and let's look at verses 32 and 33. John 12, 32 and 33, along the lines of this death, or what death he was about to die. John 12:32 says this, The Lord says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lifted up is on the stake, on the staros. If I be lifted up or suspended between heaven and earth and death, the Lord knew what was about to befall him. He knew what was down the road for him in this crucifixion. This he said, verse 33, John 12, signifying what death he should die. So he knew about the being lifted up. Look at 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth. The if there, of course, is non-conditional. He knows that it's coming. It may have been, you know, said in a conditional form, but it's a done deal. So he says this in verse 32, that the saying of Jesus, remember, this is written by the narrator, John, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. He's already mentioned knowing what death he should die back in John chapter 12. Let's pick up at 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. This is a really telling few verses here. So I want you to pay really close attention to what's going on and to what is said here, because it's really telling. Verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus, and called there is phoneo. We get our word phone from it. You call somebody on the phone. That's another Greek word that we've stolen. But here it's phoneo, and it means addressed, or he spoke to Jesus. So Pilate walks back in the hall, and he speaks, or he addresses Jesus. And he said unto him, listen to this. Pilate's only concern is for the Roman end of the accusation. So he says, art thou the king of the Jews? Because remember, the Jews at this time are what? They're prisoners. They're subjects unto Roman rule. They are not, I mean, they're allowed to do things to a certain extent under their own. It would be as if we fought a war and took over a country and sort of let them do their own thing up to a point, and then we would have to step in. And that's what's going on here. So Pilate's concern is that the Lord is usurping himself as king of the Jews, or king of Rome, because to say that he was king of the Jews would be to put him in a bad way. Because, see, that would put him in a position of usurpation over Caesar. You see what I'm saying? So Pilate goes in again. He thinks about this a little. He goes in and he addresses the Lord, and he says, art thou the king of the Jews? Or here the charge levied by the Jews against Christ in order to have them to crucify him. Because depending on the Lord's answer, and Caesar's going to tell him, look, don't you realize that I have the power to kill you or save you? So the Lord's answer here is very important. So Caesar just comes flat out and asks him, art thou the king of the Jews? Whether self-proclaimed or not. Remember, this is an answer to what the Jews were charging the Lord of doing and saying. And if you go back and read the account of all these same time periods in Matthew, you'll get a little different camera view of it and more information. And I urge you to do that. So he says, art thou the king of the Jews? There in 33, look at his answer. 34. Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of or from thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Oh, Pilate, did you come up with this question on your own, or did somebody else tell you this about me? The Lord knows what took place. The Lord knows the cup that he has to drink from. The Lord knows the Jews' charges against him and trying to make a treasonous person of him in the eyes of the Romans. The Lord knows all these things. He realizes what's going on here. He's putting it all together. So he says, sayest thou this thing of or from thyself? Or did others tell you of me? Did you hear it from somebody else? Verse 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Well, the obvious answer is no. Pilate is not a Jew, he's a Roman. So he's basically saying, am I a Jew? I don't know what's going on with y'all's law. I don't know all this stuff. I don't understand all the Jewish ways and customs. Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done, or what didst thou do? See, Pilate really has nothing against Jesus. He don't see a problem with him. And before it's all done, he's saying, look, I don't see anything wrong with this man. I find no fault in this man. But the interrogation and what the exchange between the Lord and Pilate and me is extremely interesting. What goes on and the way it all comes down. Verse 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Well, no. Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Look, your nation brought you here and they're accusing you of this. What did you do? Is what he's asking him. He's almost like doesn't want to be bothered by this whole thing. It's almost as if this whole scenario is an irritant to him. As if he's fed up. Like it's not the first time. And it's probably so. There were likely many of these type of things brought up to Pilate, but none so important as this one. None so important. Verse 36. Jesus answered. And he's going to talk about his kingdom. He says, remember what he asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Look at the answer. Jesus answered, my kingdom. And remember, at the time that we're talking here, the kingdom is of who? The kingdom's of the Jews. Remember, he sent the 11, sent the 12 out, and he said, go ye not into the cities of the Samaritans, or any of the cities of the Gentiles enter ye not, but go ye, lost sheep, the house of Israel. That's who the kingdom applies to. That's what we're talking about right here. My kingdom, he said. My kingdom is not of this world, this cosmos. My kingdom is not of this world. Now, Pilate probably did not have a clue what he was talking about. But see, what Jesus said satisfied the requirements to Pilate that he's no threat to me. He said his kingdom was somewhere else. He's no threat to Caesar. I don't have to take this guy too seriously. You think? Is that what he was thinking? Look what the Lord, let's take it again. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this cosmos, of this world, then would my servants, my underlings, fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, those that were in my kingdom would have fought that I wouldn't have even been delivered to the Jews. He said, but now, very important words, but now, is my kingdom not from here, hence. Right now, this present time, none in the Greek. The word now there is the Greek form none, N-U-N. And it means at the present immediate time. See, the Lord's very specific about what he says. The only thing that matters to Pilate is the right here and the right now. And that's the context that Jesus keeps it in. Look at his answer very carefully. He says, my kingdom is not even of this world. It's not of this cosmos. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, at the very present time, is my kingdom not from here, from hence. So his answer was perfectly in alignment with what Pilate was asking. Now, did he have a kingdom to come? Yes. Would he have been the king of that kingdom? Yes, he would. Did that kingdom come to fulfillment? Or is that kingdom in abeyance until this day? It is still yet in abeyance. The Jews rejected their king. They rejected their kingdom subsequently, and that is all yet in abeyance here 2,000 plus years later. The Lord said, my kingdom's not yet right here. It's not happened yet. And to this day, 2014, still in abeyance. Hasn't took place yet. Let's look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, well, Pilate liked what he heard that time. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Now look at the note in the companion Bible here. It literally should be rendered, is it not then that thou art a king? Or, so then, a king thou art, is the way it should have been. What he's basically saying is, so you're not a king then. If you put it in our vernacular. Pilate is like, he liked what he heard. He's like, oh, you said the right thing, so you're not a king then, is the way it's happening. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. He says, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness or testify unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's his testimony there now before Pilate. Let's read it again and go through it. Pilate says, art thou a king then? Or is it not then that thou art a king? I guess what Pilate's saying, yeah, you're going to be a king, but not right now. That's kind of what he's saying. If you get the gist of what's going on here. Remember, Pilate don't see anything wrong with him. And by the time they get finished, Pilate still doesn't see anything wrong with him. And you'll see that as we go through the study. Jesus answered and said, thou sayest that I am a king. Then he says, to this end, or for this purpose. And this phrase is used twice. This phrase is translated, should be translated for this cause. When he says, to this end, it literally means for this cause. Just like it is translated in the later part of that same verse. First time he says to this end and for this cause, but both of them mean for this purpose. So it says, for this purpose was I born. Whoa. Born to die. He didn't need to be born except for who? For us. There was a purpose to the birth of the Lord in the flesh as a human being. He has memories as he walked around on the earth. He had memories of the time that he spent with the Father before he ever was born. How many of you have any memories of a time before you existed as a human? I do not. I barely can remember things that happened when I was around 4, maybe 3.5, 4 years old. Those are my earliest recollections in my mind, not the Lord. The Lord had recollections in his mind of a time that he was with the Father in the heavenlies. Can you imagine that? Thinking and seeing those things in a mind of flesh. That boggles my little mind. But he says, to this end or for this purpose was I born. I was born for this reason. And for this purpose came I into the world, into the cosmos. That I should, look at this. Here's the purpose. For this purpose was I born, and for this purpose came I into the cosmos, that I should testify unto the truth. Well, what does that mean? The truth. Turn with me back to John chapter 14. Look at verse 6. He said, that I should testify unto the truth. John 14:6 says what? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was here to open up the path to the Father. He was the walking, personified truth of God. The pathway, the door, and the life. There was life associated with him. So when he says, the I am, the truth, he was the truth. The walking personification of truth. Everything that was truth wrapped up in Christ as he walked the earth. And I think man after man after man that came in contact with him, if they had any astuteness whatsoever, very quickly saw that. That this is not a regular guy. This is no ordinary man. He's man's perfect God. He's God's perfect man. I thought that was awesome. He said unto them, for this end was I born, or for this purpose was I born, and for this purpose came I into the world, that I should testify unto the truth. He was a walking testimony for the truth of God. You ever thought about that? Now, lots of lies that Satan's put down, but here is the truth walking around. No wonder Satan wanted to shut him down. You only have truth when there's an antecedent lie floating around. Who was the father of the lie? Who perpetuates the lie? It's the adversary. He started in Genesis 3 as soon as they hit the ground in the garden. Ah! Thou shalt not surely die, but you know, God knows that the day you eat of this tree that you'll be as gods to know good and evil. Just like he does. There's only truth when there's lie. It's like understanding black and white or good and evil. You have to have one to understand perfectly the other. And believe me, buddy, the lie is out there today. So he says, I testify, I bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Amen. If you know and understand Christ, then you hear his voice. We open this book, and the Holy Spirit takes the words of this book, and we hear his voice. We hear his voice through his word. I heard his voice as Barney spoke this morning. And the things that he brings us through his word, when you understand and go, oh, yeah, I see that. That is hearing his voice. And that's what's in this book. Awesome. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Verse 38. Well, Pilate's kind of dumbfounded now, I think. Pilate steps back, I think. I'm adding this, but I seen this play out in my head this morning as I was studying for it. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Can you tell me what truth is? Because he had heard. Let's look at the note. The note in the companion Bible on this is pretty awesome. Pilate says, what is truth? The note to CB says, the question of many a man. Amen. A lot of men have stepped back and said, you know, what is truth? Because there are so many versions out there of what truth is. Especially in religion. I'm not talking belief. True belief in Christ. But I'm just talking religion. And religion is normally that tool that men use to define how they're different. Instead of being a tool to define how they're the same. The question of many a man. Pilate was not jesting, as Lord Bacon says. He was doubtless sick of the various philosophies and religions which contended for acceptance. See, I believe that note is dead on the money. I believe that there were a lot of stuff that came up before Pilate concerning some kind of religion. Whether it was acceptable. Is this okay? Is this acceptable under Caesar? The Jews had probably doubtlessly used Pilate as a tool many times before. So he's finally fed up. He steps back in awesome, in awness, I believe, of what the Lord just told him. And he says, man, what is truth? Now he's quit accusing. He's begun, I think, to have a conversation with him. If you want my opinion about it. What is truth? He says. It says, and when he had said this in verse 38, John 18, he went out again unto the Jews. See, he just said, what is truth? Probably stood there and looked at the Lord, I imagine, for a minute or so. Turned around and walked out unto the Jews. And he saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. There ain't nothing wrong with this guy. What's wrong with y'all? I find no fault at all. And no fault there is the Greek odias atia, which means in the Greek not even one cause or crime. Hence no charge or accusation. You remember his original question? What have you been charged with? He said, look, I find no fault with this man. Oedis eta. No fault. No charge, no crime, no accusation. I can't find anything wrong with him. I find no fault at all, he says at the end of verse 38. Look here, but to appease the people, verse 39, but you have a custom, a son of Thea, that's a mutual habitation or a usage, something we did over and over every year. He said, you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. And the one that the Romans would release was symbolic of the angel passing over Israel at the time of the Passover. You remember why they even had the Passover, right? Because that death angel came through. If he didn't see the blood on the lintel, firstborn in that family dies. Firstborn son was gone. And that was a feast. From that point forward, go back and read it. We're not going to take the time, but everybody knows the story of the Passover. Very important to Israel. Go back and read the things that go along with the Passover there. Very important. So he says that you guys have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore, or do ye wish, that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Remember what he said? He said, I don't find anything wrong with him. So when he says, do you want me to release the King of the Jews? He's mocking the Jews at what they said. I don't think he's mocking the Lord at what the Lord said. I think he's just fed up with the whole thing. Hey, y'all have a custom that I release one before the Passover. Do you want me to release this guy, the King of the Jews here? What he's saying. You want me to let him go? So look at the answer. Before we do, look at the note in the CV on the king. Where it says the King of the Jews there. It says, it was this taunt that led them to retort by the threat of Lerua Majestatis, or the high treason against Pilate himself. You know, it was this threat. That's what it says in the note there. I barely can read that. I don't know why.
It's on the computer.
Oh, Tony got it. Okay. Yeah, it was this taunt that led them to retort by the threat of Lisa Majestatis, high treason against Pilate himself. So he said, will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Look at verse 40. Then cried they all again. Cried there is krogazo, which means to shout or to cry aloud. They were yelling, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews? Nope. We don't want him. We don't want you to release this man. We want you to release Barabbas. Not this fella, as it says in the scripture. And it says, now Barabbas was a robber. They had Barabbas in prison already. And the Jews knew this. So they said, you want me to release Jesus? Nope. We don't want you to release Jesus. We want you to release Barabbas. And look at the note on the word Barabbas there is an Aramaic name. But the word robber here means a bandit or a highway robber. And it's the Greek word listis. And it says, compare Mark 11, 17, 14, 48, and 15, 27. This is not kleptes or thief, but he's a robber. He was someone that kind of stopped people and robbed them as they traveled. Kind of a highway robber. Kleptis was a thief. You know, we get our word kleptomaniac. Somebody just steals something for the heck of stealing it. That's where we get our word kleptomaniac from. Kleptis means a thief. The two words together in John 10, verses 1 and verse 8. They chose the robber, listen to this, and the robber has ruled over them to this day. Their kingdom never came to fruition. They chose the robber at this point. That's a very good note. They chose the robber, and the robber has ruled over them up until this very day. Chose the robber over the Lord. And that concludes chapter 18. I hope you were edified by what you heard. This one this morning, as I went through and read this discourse between Pilate and the Lord, it kind of got me a little bit, made me think, made me stop and think, and made me consider some things. And I like knowing about these events as we go through, because they're not recorded for no reason. They're recorded that we may know. That we may know and understand these things and have them in our minds, the chain of events that happened. And by better understanding this, we better understand exactly what it was the Lord did for us. And when we pick up with chapter 19, We're going to see a lot of suffering. A lot of things done to Jesus. A lot of beating, a lot of scourging, a lot of mockery, a lot of mistreatment, a lot of torture. A lot of things that happened to the Lord. But yet, he knew the cup, the Father's cup. Remember, we keep talking about the Father's cup. That was the cup that the Father had given him to drink from. And praise God, he stayed the course and drank from it. Because he didn't. Had he not drank that cup, where would we be? We would be yet in our sins. But praise God that we're not. Praise God that he drank from the cup. Hard as it may be to read, we need to read it and understand it. And most of all, we need to remember it. Let me stop the recorder here.